Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here on the eastern plains of Colorado. During the slow but steady decline of Western civilization, we chronicle the decline of the Christian faith and its influence in the Western world, but also the slow but steady decline of a civilization, the implosion of social systems, and the breakdown of the sexual health of the nation. The sexual nihilism of the day, which effectively is the destruction of sexuality that comes by way of the breaking of the seventh commandment in a wholesale sense. And so Steve Vaughn in studio with me today as we hit a bunch of stories that came out from September, October of this year. And again, the mainline media is big time concerned about this issue, and that is the massive, massive increase in the incidence of sexually transmitted diseases. The stories are way, way more than I've seen in all of my history of radio broadcasting. I have never seen the problem this serious, nor the media as concerned about the issue as the media is right now. And bacterial STDs are out of control, Steve. There was an increase in the 1970s, an increase up to 500 new cases per 100,000 by 1974. And that was the first sexual revolution, but the second sexual revolution began in the 1990s, largely with the wholesale acceptance of adultery and homosexuality. And so as we begin to walk into this brave new world, we find another massive, massive increase in bacterial STDs, now up to 600 new cases per 100,000, breaking the all-time American record in 2012, and is still rocketing higher and higher and higher since 2012. Viral STDs were about 50 per 100,000 new cases in the 1970s, now 700 new cases per 100,000 in the year 2012, 2013, and that number just increases probably upwards of 1,000 to 1,200 per 100,000 now in 2016. CNN's article on this issue says in 2016, Americans were infected with more than 2 million new cases of gonorrhea, syphilis, and chlamydia, the highest number of these sexually transmitted diseases ever reported, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Clearly, we need to reverse this disturbing trend, said Dr. Gail Boland, director of CDC's Division of STD Prevention. The agency's annual sexually transmitted disease surveillance report shows that more than 1.6 million of the new cases were from chlamydia, 470,000 were from gonorrhea, and nearly 28,000 new cases were primary and secondary syphilis, the most infectious stages of the disease. According to the CDC, several factors are fueling the STD epidemic, RV said. Funding cutbacks for prevention, education, healthcare programs. Funding cutbacks.
Yeah,
that's that must be the issue.
Yeah, it's not.
I can't believe this, Steve. Funding cutbacks has increased the STD rate by a factor of 20 times since the 1970s. Funding cutbacks? Seems to me that there has been a significant amount of STD awareness going on in American high schools since the 1970s, and the result? A massive, massive increase. Syphilis rates increased by nearly 18% overall in just 1 year, Steve. In just 1 year.
Yeah, it's not funding cutbacks, it's immorality increase.
Syphilis rates increased by nearly 18% overall in just a single year. The gonorrhea increased among men and women 22% in just 1 year. Now, friends, this is especially true, apparently, amongst the gay, the bisexual, and other men who have sex with men, et cetera, et cetera. 20 million new STI cases every year. 20 million.
20
what
million.
Is that, 10% of the population? 10% of the population getting...
Of the adult population.
Of the adult population getting sexually transmitted diseases every year. 20 million new STI cases every year. 10% of the population coming down with new STI cases every year. If that's 10% per year, that'd be 100% in 10 years. That's the rate at which the increases are happening, and God's judgment is coming upon those who break his seventh commandment wholesale in our present day. Romans 1:27 speaks directly to this. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust for one another, homosexuality, bisexuality, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. 110 million Americans have received the penalty of their error, which is due.
110 million Americans have received the penalty of their error, which was due, according to Romans 1, 40% of American adults, 110 million Americans have an STD now. And what is it? 20 million new cases every year, accounting for an additional 10% of the adult population each year. Half of those are persons 15 to 24 years of age, which means a significant portion of the 15 to 24 year old population is obtaining a sexually transmitted disease. Which,
yeah, they're saying that between by the time you're 25, you have a 50% chance. 50% of the people before they're age 25 will have an STI.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And then you move that on until they're 30 years old, because they're not getting married till they're 30 or 32 or 34. And they'll make that 36. I'm sorry, make that 38 years of age. Putting off marriage and putting off marriage and putting off marriage will mean that, what, 70, 80, 90% will have a sexually transmitted disease before they bring it, they drag it into their marriage. Friends, this is what is going on in society that has undergone the sex and sexual revolution of the 1990s and 2000s, thanks to the Supreme Court of the United States and their legitimizing of homosexuality, which is the most abominable possible sexual sin. But then again, the bottom of the iceberg goes on down into all the other sexual sins that are accommodated by the Supreme Court of the United States, that has put the A-OK on every kind of sexual perversion you could ever imagine. And the nation is following suit. And of course, now 110 million Americans have received in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. We're going to talk about the most immoral states in the Union in just a moment. This may surprise you. The most conservative states, the most immoral states. We're going to talk about that next on the Generations broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast today. Kevin Swanson here with you as we chronicle the decline of the family, the decline of sexuality, the breakdown of morality in the Western world, and of course, accommodated by the judgment of God upon the nation. There are 27 different kinds of sexually transmitted diseases. That's surprising. And what, 110 million Americans have some form of sexually transmitted disease, and the increase is, what, 10% per year. Steve, what are these varieties of sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, depending on who you go to, there's four or five different kinds. And it also, depending on who you go to, there's 27. And that number can go up, too, if you add yeast and some of these other types of infections. But there are bacterial infections. There's nine of those that are listed under bacteria. There's ectoparasitic, which is ecto means on the outside, parasites, which then eat into you. Mm-hmm. That's like scabies and your pubic lice, which are also known as crabs. Mm-hmm. Protozoal, which is a different type of just little bug. So you've got your Cryptosporidium, trichomoniasis. Mm-hmm. Those are hard to say. And then
they sound awful. Every one of them sounds awful.
They're all horrible. Oh. And then the viral ones, which are ones that are typically incurable, there's 11 of those. And so you're talking cytomegalovirus, all of your herpes, your human papillomas, your hepatitis, HIV, HTV, mm-hmm. HTLV, all of those types of things. But those are all the viral immoral ones, and those are incurable.
They don't go away.
They don't go away.
The gift that keeps on giving,
yeah,
as some have put it.
Right. And mm-hmm. and so these, some of those will make you infertile. There are people, 27,000 young ladies every year will become infertile because of these.
That's a heartbreak, friends. And of course, the result of a society that has increasingly violated the laws of God and do so in a wholesale manner. And God is in control of each of these bugs. The 27 different kinds of sexually transmitted diseases, and what, six or seven? There were only six or seven in the 1940s.
Yeah, and they were all bacterial, and they were all curable.
So now ectoparasitic, protozoal, viral, bacterial forms of sexually transmitted diseases, all of these little bugs sent into the body by God Almighty. God is in control of Superbug. God is in control of the judgment that he sends upon the Egyptians as he brought the plagues upon the Egyptians. And remember all the irritable bugs and things that came to the Egyptians as he sent those plagues upon that horrible empire. And even our empire, as this empire is crumbling, as this empire has rotted moral foundations and is about ready to topple as an empire, friends, the disease will be a part of that implosion. Of course, these diseases will be a part of the judgment of Almighty God upon a nation that has abandoned his laws wholesale. Now, it turns out that the most immoral states in the Union, at least as far as the highest sexually transmitted disease rate goes, are the most conservative states. And this comes from pjmedia.com. Alaska is the state with the most sexually transmitted diseases.
Wow.
And again, Western state tends to be a little bit more of a conservative state. Number two is Mississippi. Number three, Louisiana. Number four, Georgia. Number five, New Mexico. Number six, North Carolina. Number seven, South Carolina. Number eight, Arkansas. Number nine, Delaware. Number 10, Oklahoma. Now, these states are typically referred to as the most conservative states.
Yeah, Bible
almost,
Belt states.
Almost every one of these states are sending Republican senators to the White House or to Congress. And so, friends, the southern conservative states, at least 8 out of the 10 of these states are southern conservative states that tend to be the most immoral states with the highest STD rates and also the highest pornography download rates. So I think we referred to that in the past. They tend to be these southern states. The most conservative states in terms of homosexuality are the states doing more porn and more heterosexual fornication. And so what we see here is an hypocrisy, Steve, that is very common amongst conservatives. Those that are most conservative on issues like homosexuality are the states doing the most porn and the most heterosexual fornication. 2 Timothy chapter 3 speaks of this conservativism, which, again, I think ties into a cheap conservative religion, because the states that typically have the highest church attendance rates are the states with the highest pornography download rates and the highest STD rates. 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." They love pleasure more than they love God. They love their porn more than they love God, and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. This is exactly the problem of an apostate nation, apostate states that are the most conservative. They maintain something of a conservative religion, but they are the most evil. And they bear the judgment of Almighty God upon them. Well, friends, this cheap conservative religion just does not have real influence upon the culture. It just doesn't. It tends to be a form of hypocrisy. Conservatives are taken up with maintaining traditional cultural accretions, externals like dress and manners, but they aren't interested in heart-level radical change. Conservatives, Steve, tend not to be radical. They don't like to be radical. They don't want to be rooted. They don't want to be principled. They want to look good on the outside, but they don't care about the heart. Conservatives are like King Saul. You remember King Saul, who would not destroy everything about the Amalekites? He'd take out the ugly part of it. Remember, he destroyed the ugly sheep, the ugly goats.
Right.
But he saved all the nice-looking goats, and he would not cut King Agag to pieces. They wouldn't go after the root problems. They hate biblical law. Now, the conservatives in South Carolina, North Carolina, they try to get these dirty transgendered high school boys out of the girls' bathroom.
Yeah.
But man, they're not going to bring down the educational institutions that refuse to teach the beginning of knowledge as the fear of God. Now, that's the conservative church in North Carolina. That's the conservative Baptist in North Carolina. Man, they want to get those dirty high school boys out of the girls' restrooms. But when you say, now, wait a minute, the problem is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is not taught in American public schools. So we need to tear down these institutions and build back institutions that give God the glory and present an education that is firmly formed on the fear of God. You know what the conservatives would say in North Carolina? Forget that. Forget that. That's a conservative for you. You know, I've been doing a lot of study of American history. And American history is a shameful thing, especially after the Civil War. After the Civil War, Steve, what we see is a constant degrade in Presbyterians, in Baptists, in Lutherans, in just about every aspect. By 1890, almost every conservative denomination supported prohibition and equated the consumption of alcohol to sin. Only the Roman Catholics and the Episcopalians opposed the move towards prohibition. Now, I use the example of prohibition because that's classical conservatism in America, mm-hmm. making an impact for Jesus. And they would have arrested him in Cana for making the good wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a conservative. That's an American conservative right there. Shame on you, American conservatives. The problem is autonomy, Steve. See, again, the root issue is autonomy. What's autonomy?
Self-law. It's you want to make the law for yourself.
Yeah. And there's one form of autonomy that says I can have sex with whatever I want to have sex with. And that's how we get a Obergefell. Another form of autonomy says dancing is a sin.
Yeah. Cards.
Yeah. See, again, just we're coming back to autonomy. Man hates the law of God. And you have conservative fundamentalists that hate the law of God, and they come up with a new law. Dancing is a sin. And they would have put David in prison for dancing before the ark.
That's
in
right.
In the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And they would have put Jesus in prison for making wine at Cana.
Yeah.
God help us. When the conservatives are rotten to the core, and the liberals are rotten to the core, and biblical Christians hardly exist anymore. And that's the way things were in 1890. Biblical Christians need to be very, very careful with these superficial morality movements. Throughout church history, man, we don't find this wholesale rejection of wine, for example. But the American church was looking for a more shallow piety and a cheap morality. They wanted an appearance of godliness that denied the power thereof. That's what American religious conservatives wanted in the 1890s. I think of Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday, you remember Billy Sunday? The great...
Yeah.
quote-unquote evangelist of the 1910s and 1920s.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he was hot to trot on prohibition. He railed against alcohol, against dancing, against card playing, against attending this theater. Hey, get your Bible out. Let's look into the concordance about card playing or alcohol or dancing. What do you find here? Not a lot, my friends. Now, his legacy faded quickly as his children all apostatized, his oldest son committed suicide, another son died in a drunk driving incident, and his only great-grandchild, Billy Sunday's only great-grandchild, Marquis Ashley Sunday, was killed by his homosexual friend in San Francisco on March 22nd, 1982.
Wow.
Man, if that doesn't present the sad legacy of conservative American religiosity, I don't know what else would. You know, the true gospel message was lost in the mix. The true gospel message in which people were not all wrapped up in these tertiary social issues, the social gospel that would not root itself in the laws of God, the social gospel going after prohibition and introducing welfare to America in the early 1910s, 1920s. My friends, this abandonment of the laws of God as the standard for what is right and wrong waters down the gospel big time. And the gospel message was lost. Why? Because many people never learned what it would be like to be saved from not dancing, not drinking alcohol, but to be saved from the power of real sin, like lust and pride and self and self-centeredness. See, what happens is we present the enemy, we present the problem, the sin, as these superficial, externalistic things and said, we got to be saved away from these things by this cheap morality and by these cheap moralisms and by this cheap gospel where we have a Christ who cannot cleanse us from our sins. He just simply is incapable of bringing a power that could truly convert us, that could truly resurrect the dead, place a new heart within us, a new motive, a new principle, and then we begin to live our lives according to this new principle. Well, my friends, that's not the gospel that was taught. And so you have a cheap view of the problem, a cheap view of the solution, and in the end, the gospel is lost and people are not really saved. The problem is not drinking wine and dancing. The problem is that man has a lust problem in his heart. Man is ungrateful. Man is never content with what he has. Man is never appreciative of the things that God has given to him. He doesn't give God thanks. He turns his food and his drink into an idol. He becomes dependent on it as an emotional crutch to make it through his trials. And friends, if it's not the problem of alcohol, it's the problem of eating. And that's one reason why Baptists have a 30% obesity rate. Fundamentalists have a 22% obesity rate. Reformed Christians have a 7% obesity rate. And the Jews have a 1% obesity rate. Why so high for the fundamentalists, but the fundamental problem is that they're still creating an idol out of food and they're dependent upon this food for their comfort. You know, Steve, I think we need to be careful that we're not giving way to this conservativistic religiosity, that we're not minimizing the gospel to some kind of a social problem and a social solution. That is, the pro-life crowd can give way to this as well. Conservatives are good at railing against the major social sin of the day, when indeed the root issue when it comes to abortion is the bad relationships in the home, the lack of love that we have for each other, the self-centeredness that results in husbands and wives fighting with each other in the bedroom or in the kitchen in front of the kids. We forget that the bottom of the iceberg is everything that we're all about. The tip of the iceberg is the killing of the child in the mother's womb. But man, we've all got the same issue. We've got the same controlling sin issue in our lives that results in hatred, malice, unforgiveness, bitterness, the breakdown of relationship in churches, between churches, within families, within marriages. Man, this nation is soaking in hatred, malice, anger, broken relationships, as well as, of course, the slaughter of the innocents. So as Christians, I think we need to, first of all, be in agony over our own sin. I mean, we can talk about the publican being better than the Pharisee, crying out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But until we've been down on our face before God and realizing our own sin, and until we've been in agony over our own sin, and we cry out for the mercy of God, we're just conservatives. We're just your typical hypocritical conservatives.
We're the new Pharisees, because we end up making then the fence laws in order to try not to break the law, and so that's why no dancing, no drinking, no smoking, chewing. Don't go with girls or doing that too. So
conservatives are not in agony over their own sin. Conservatives also are not godly. That is, they don't love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength in that positive sense. They know how to hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, but man, they've lost their first love, and they're not loving God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. They don't sit around studying God's works. They're not enraptured by God and his love for us and his work for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Their lives aren't consumed in thanksgiving and worship. That's not their lifestyle. Conservatives aren't fanatics. They're not fanatical about God, and so they're not Christians. I think of Hebrews 13:15, where the apostle speaks of a continual offering of a sacrifice.
Yeah, and that is the fruit of your lips. And fruit comes from the root. And so if you had like a fruit tree that was bearing bad fruit, you don't go out and buy 2 bushels of peaches and duct tape it to the tree. That the next year, the fruit's not going to come back.
Yeah.
And so if you're just paying lip service to God on Sundays, if all you're doing is, and that's the only time that you're praising God, you're basically duct taping fruit to your lips. It's not going to last.
Yeah, it should be a natural outflow of a heart that is just filled with gratefulness to God for his mercy and his grace.
Exactly. And that's why the first two words of this verse is through him. We offer continual sacrifice. We cannot do this by ourselves. It is by the faith of God. It's the same thing as lighting the golden incense, the altar on the golden, the incense on the golden altar. You had to light with a coal from the brazen altar. You had to realize that there was a sacrifice. That's what ignites our praise and our worship and our prayers, is that we know that Christ died and rose again. And if anything else, emotionalism, things like that, that's strange fire.
What's the problem with conservatives? They're just railing against the major sins of the day, but they're not godly. They don't love God. They're not worshiping God. They're not presenting a continual sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of the lips, acknowledging his name. And also, Jesus Christ is just not important enough. Oftentimes, you don't hear Christ mentioned by conservatives. You read conservative magazines, and you're not finding hardly a single mention of Christ. Do you find these issues that they're fighting for tooth and nail? But at the end of the day, where's Jesus? You know, how is their love for Christ manifested? Do they come back to the value of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the glory of Christ, the blessing that Christ brings to them? Also, the Holy Spirit is not present with conservatives. The fruits of the Spirit aren't there. Again, I'm talking about religious conservatives, just people who are conservative in their religion. The Holy Spirit's just not present there. The fruits of the Spirit, not there. Maybe they've managed to stay away from porn for 9 months, and they've never committed a homosexual act, but they have no idea what it is to walk in the Spirit, in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. May God bring these things to us. Steve, may God purge this shallow conservatism from us. I think the nation has been absorbed in this shallow conservatism, especially the conservative church, amongst the Baptists, amongst the Presbyterians, amongst our Lutheran brothers and charismatics. There has been a shallow conservatism, and it's sickening. It's a hypocritical externalism may God purge this from us.
Yes, and we have got to get to the internal. It's Christ in our lives, in our hearts, in our, the very center of our being, and us in him, and living in him, in whom we live and move and have our being.
Oh, may the Lord encourage you with these words, that we not just have a religion that has some form of godliness but denies the power thereof. And it begins, my friends, it always begins with an agony over our sin at the foot of the cross of Christ. It always comes back to our need for a Savior, for the intervention of the God-man, the Son of God himself comes into the womb of the Virgin Mary, that interrupts our existence on planet Earth and presents that great work of atonement on the cross for us, and then he continually abides with us through his Holy Spirit, and he is God with us forever and ever and ever. Friends, this is our salvation. This is our redemption. We are the new man in Christ as we are united to Christ, and we are made partakers of his redemption. Friends, this is the marvelous message of the gospel that is largely lost when the conservative view is always focused on the social sins and is always focused on the political solutions of the day. God forbid that we ever see the political solution as the solution. The solution is God's solution, and that is his only begotten Son, who came here to die on the cross for our sins and rose again on the third day. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. I hope this has been helpful to you. I'd encourage you to our Bible study guides through the book of Matthew, through the book of Genesis, through the book of Proverbs and Psalms. We are running a sale on these books right now as a means of discipling our children in the core issues of the gospel, the core issues of the Word of God. Be sure you root and ground yourself in the Word of God. Be sure that you are meditating upon his word day and night, for you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. And we do so by studying God's word. And that's why our organization, Generations.org, presents the Bible study guides, the family Bible study guides for your family. Check them out at our website, Generations.org. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Monday, November 6th, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. At least 27 people have been killed inside a Texas church, including a 2-year-old child, after a gunman dressed in full combat gear opened fire during yesterday's morning service before cops shot him dead. 24 others are being treated for injuries. The shooter had not been identified by our deadline. The shooting happened at the First Baptist Church of Sutherland Springs, where only 50 people usually attend service, reports the Daily Mail. First Baptist Church pastor Frank Pomeroy said his 14-year-old daughter is among the dead. It's the deadliest church shooting in American history. Last month, the president of Nepal signed an anti-conversion bill into law to take effect in August of 2018. Similar to India, radical Hindu nationalists are attempting to slow the rapid spread of Christianity in Nepal. Christians are concerned that any religious activity they do in public could become illegal. William Stark of International Christian Concern told The Worldview about how Nepali Christians are persecuted.
Persecution in Nepal definitely exists. Most of it is perpetrated in response to a conversion, whether it be from family members or from a community. Often Christianity is associated with kind of being part of the low caste, the untouchable. And often what will happen is families will threaten or pressure Christian converts to come back to Hinduism. They'll also engage in, you know, attacks every once in a while on pastors who are spreading the message. Beatings will happen, imprisonments happen every once in a while.
Stark shared how Christ has only continued to grow his church in Nepal.
Christianity, though, despite, you know, the persecution that they're actually facing, is growing at an incredible rate in Nepal. I think in just the past decade, the size of the Christian population has actually tripled, and all of that is due to religious conversion.
Psalm 22, 27 through 28 declares, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations." Russian operatives created a popular Facebook page to target conservative Christians with patriotic Jesus-filled memes, which reached 126 million users to stir dissension among Americans during the 2016 presidential election, reports Christianity Today. Army of Jesus was among 470 Facebook pages created by the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg, Russia. One post from the fake Christian account depicted a standoff between a glowing figure of Jesus Christ and Hillary Clinton dressed as the devil, which had over 217,000 likes. That's more Facebook likes than most established politically conservative evangelical media outlets, such as World or Charisma magazine. In the new book, The Last Republicans, former President George H.W. Bush confessed that he voted for Hillary Clinton and does not like President Donald Trump, calling him a quote-unquote blowhard, reports Fox News. President Donald Trump was rather candid with WMAL host Larry O'Connor on Thursday.
"But, you know, the saddest thing is that because I'm the President of the United States, I am not supposed to be involved with the Justice Department. Why aren't they going after Hillary Clinton with her emails and with her the dossier and the kind of money? I don't know. Is it possible that they paid $12.4 million?
After the interview, Trump tweeted, quote, "Donna Brazile just stated the DNC rigged the system to illegally steal the primary from Bernie Sanders, bought and paid for by Crooked H. This is real collusion and dishonesty, major violation of campaign finance laws and money laundering. Where is our Justice Department?" End quote. Former Democratic National Committee head Donna Brazile writes in her new book entitled Hacks that she seriously contemplated replacing Hillary Clinton as the party's 2016 presidential nominee with then-Vice President Joe Biden in the aftermath of Clinton's fainting spell on September 11th, in part because Clinton's campaign was, quote-unquote, anemic and had taken on, quote, the odor of failure, end quote, reports the Washington Post. Brazil thought that Hillary's campaign was so lacking in passion for the candidate that its New York headquarters felt like a sterile hospital ward where, quote, someone had died, end quote. U.S. Senator Rand Paul's neighbor, Renee Boucher, a 59-year-old anesthesiologist, came on to his property and tackled him from behind, forcing him to the ground and causing pain. According to Boucher's arrest warrant, Paul had injuries to his face and had trouble breathing due to a rib injury, reports the Bowling Green Daily News. A politically liberal psychoanalyst whose research led to traditional conclusions got the cold shoulder from mainstream media when she released her book entitled Being There, Why Prioritizing Motherhood in the First 3 Years Matters. Erica Commissar told the Wall Street Journal, quote, I could not get on NPR. I was rejected wholesale, particularly in New York, by the liberal press, end quote. Asserting that, quote, mothers are biologically necessary for babies, end quote. Commissar said, quote, every time a mother comforts a baby in distress, she's actually regulating that baby's emotions from the outside in. After 3 years, the baby internalizes that ability to regulate their emotions, but not until then, end quote. Commissar believes that her voice has been silenced because it could make some women feel guilty or reinforce traditional gender roles. Titus 2:4-5 speaks directly. Then the older women can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be keepers of the home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Papa John's Pizza is reevaluating its NFL sponsorship after football players continued to kneel during the national anthem, causing a dramatic drop in viewers disgusted by their lack of patriotism, reports Business Insider. And finally, an elderly couple is melting hearts across the internet after it was revealed that the man is learning how to do his wife's makeup before she becomes blind, reports DisabledGo.com. A photo posted on Twitter, which we have linked in our transcript, explains how Jean and Brian regularly go into a department store so that Brian can learn to apply her makeup. The story has struck a chord with many people, with the tweet having received nearly 72,000 retweets and over 220,000 likes. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, November 6th, in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.